I want to talk to you now about R1-6. If we had no other process anywhere than have pre-clear hold two back anchor points of the room for at least 2 minutes by the clock. And we didn't have any other process by that. You know, we'd have more people well. That's one of these important processes. That's one of these interesting, important processes, which has quite a lot of history back of it. This is making space. Here we are immediately and directly applying viewpoint of dimension. One of the things which a thetan is very afraid of is that he is going to get up against this stuff or put a beam on it, this mess, you know, and stick. He's afraid this will happen to him. Also, he's lost his ability to some degree to make space. And this is a very essential thing, that he makes space, because he won't have any space to exteriorize into unless he himself makes space. First, he has as much space as he makes, not as much as he sees. You just assume you've got space and you've got space. If you assume you don't have space, you don't have space. It's as easy as that. But the two back anchor points of the room is an old process. It has many, many variations. And amongst those variations would be, now find one corner of the room, upper corner of the room. Now find another upper corner of the room. You got those two? All right, hold on to them. Now find a third upper corner of the room. Now put your attention on all three. Now find a fourth corner of the room. Put your attention on all four. Got the idea? Find a fifth corner of the room. Put your attention on all five. Sneak up on them. There's a group process in the auditor's handbook, printed edition. One of the back group processes in the book, which is just that process. You do this for 15 minutes at a time. You add a corner every 15 minutes. This just makes the fellow make space and gets him over being afraid of the material universe. An important part of this is don't think. The reason why don't think is an important part of it is that Thetan keeps postulating himself all the time you're processing him into various conditions. He can postulate himself into anything or any frame of mind. So you said to somebody, be 3 feet back of your head. You've had him copy things. You've had him copy nothingness. You've remedied this havingness problem with him. You've got all that whipped. Now let's get him a little bit more stable in the immediate environment, and let's let him find out the environment's actually there. And we do this simply by having him locate a couple of back corners of the room and hold on to them and not think. While a person's exteriorized, he can make and break masses and do all sorts of things just by thinking, you see. So we just tell him not to think. We hold on to the two corners and not to think. Quite important that he doesn't think. And that's all he does. And if you do that for less than 2 minutes, you're just wasting your time. Now, why do we say just 2 minutes? Well, 2 minutes is a long time to a thetan. The equivalent in the body would be 2 or 3 hours. It works faster when he's exteriorized than when he's inside. So let's ask this boy to do this stunt. Let's ask him to hold on to two back corners of the room and sit there and not think. And then let's take him 2 minutes by your clock, huh? But let's not take him 2 minutes out of his hat, because most auditors, 2 minutes to most auditors is usually 12 seconds. Minutes a long time when you're sitting in an auditing chair. So you really actually take it 2 minutes by the clock. Long time to the thetan. You'll find out his visio will pick up and other things will occur, but most importantly, he can find out that he can look that far away from himself without everything falling in on him. His body's liable to get somatics, various things are liable to occur. And if things start to occur simply because he's doing this process, well, of course, you know, then the natural thing to do would be to go on to the next process just because it's the next process. Is that right or wrong? Huh? If anything starts to happen by reason it is holding on to the two back corners of the room, his comm lag goes down, he starts to get dopey, he gets groggy, he has somatics, he gets some violent perception changes, he's having a hard time fishing for them. Any one of these things occurs, that is a communication lag boosted up to the dignity of a process lag. In other words, the process isn't finished yet. And so, although I say 2 minutes by the clock, I say that because it usually takes that long for the fellow to forget himself enough to let things start to happen. Now, 2 minutes by the clock, and now suppose something really is happening with this fellow, you know, and he's getting perception changes and so forth. Well, you just better do that process until he ceases to get changes. Until as long as he's getting a change, you do that process. It's a process all by itself. Saddening? So he's getting perception changes. So you do this thing for 5 hours. This guy's exteriorized, and he's still getting changes at the end of 5 hours. Fine. It obviously was the best process that you could have given him at the moment because it's the one that's producing all the change. Well, you know, you ought to be chasing this fellow around over the moon, and you ought to be doing all sorts of things. And Ron said that he ought to be exercised, and he ought to be able to patch up his body, and he ought to be able to heal people and so forth. The last thing we ought to be doing then, isn't it? No, it says right in the auditor's code that run process is flat. Run a process as long as it produces change. The process is producing no change. Why go on to the next process? Give it a fair trial. Well, a fair trial for a hold of two back anchor points to the room, a fair trial for it, is 2 minutes for a Thetan exterior. A good trial for it for a person when he's in his body is 15 or 20 minutes. You know, you ask the fellow while he's sitting there in the chair, hold the two back anchor points of the room. He holds them, and he holds them for 15, 20 minutes, and then things start to happen. And all of a sudden, then, he's getting whoom, bing. It kind of takes a little while for it to wind up sometimes. So a fair trial exteriorized would be a couple of minutes. A fair trial, let's say 15 minutes for somebody who was still interiorized. See, that would not be a Route 1 process then, would it, if you were still interiorized? The difference between Route 1 and Route 2, you know, of course, is just that a Route 1 is run while a person's exteriorized. So you'll notice some Route 1 processes are the same as Route 2. This one, by the way, holds two back anchor points of the room, also appears in Route 2, done in a different way. Done almost the same way, but it's done for a fellow interiorized. So this is the way you do it, and you run that as long as he would get a change. If he got no perception change by reason of holding on to the two back anchor points of the room, then there are three possibilities. One, he went back inside. Two, he wasn't doing the process. You know, he didn't hold on to. You told him to, and he's sitting there, but he's not doing it. There's that possibility, you see, occurs. And the other one is that he's in such good shape that merely contacting some mess doesn't disturb him any. So you just pays your money and you take your chance. But listen, if he's still interiorized, if he went back in, he'll come back out again on this process. So you just go on doing the process. Two, if he isn't paying your orders, then you didn't give him enough. You didn't sound the case. You know, you didn't size this case up. You didn't do a good human evaluation on him before you started processing. You know, he's not doing what you're telling him to do. What you should be doing with him is SOP, Standard Operating Procedures, HC's, opening procedure. Good old R216, that's what that fellow needed. And by the way, let me go into it right away. I may or may not have mentioned it elsewhere, but the place where you discover whether or not a person should be entered in Route 1 and Route 2 is not B3B back of your head. It's whether or not he's got a comm lag while doing Steps 1, 2, or 3. If you're doing Steps 1, 2, or 3, apply your knowledge of human evaluation. This fellow has lots of comm lags and so forth. Don't bother with Route 1. Just go on over to Route 2. You won't be 3 feet back. He's had long comm lags and that sort of thing. He's followed up and he can't give you direct answers and so forth. Go to Route 2. Run R216, opening procedure of HC. You see? You're only on route. I should have made that clear there. You're only on Route 1 where the fellow had practically no comm lag. You were able to talk to him, get straight answers and so forth. And you did this and all of a sudden you said, what do you know? Route 1. Be 3 feet back of your head. He probably is. All right, so this hold the two back anchor points of the room refers to somebody that's already entered and gone down Route 1, right? All right, how long would you do it? Well, you could do it as long as it produced change. Give it 2 minutes to really make sure that it is. I'll go over that again with you. You have no business being on Route 1 with a person who would have snapped back in his head. If he has bad comm lags and things like that, if you did get him out, he'd just snap back in. Furthermore, he won't obey your auditing commands. He won't do what you're telling him to do anyway. So there wouldn't be any reason for rerunning him on Route 1. You understand that you can't walk around back of Thetan making very sure that he is where he says he is. They're deceitful. And so the best thing for you to do is to size him up by Comlag and then choose your route. You could, of course, choose your route by going into Route 1, say B3D back of your head, and then he couldn't be, so you go on to Route 2. But you've given him a failure, haven't you? And that will stand in the road of his later exteriorization. So don't give him a failure. Exteriorizing when he's ready to exteriorize. Route 2, by the way, run all the way on down. Somewhere along the line of Route 2, he's going to blow out of his head anyhow, whether you told him to or not. All right, so we got as far, then, as holding the two back anchor points to the rung. And he just seemed to hit a big calm lag at this point, and he snarled up and so forth. Well, his behavior right up to this point has demonstrated that he's exteriorized. He didn't have much calm lag and so forth. Actually, the process is just working like mad. That's the only thing that's happening here. So you let it work as long as it works. This is the least workful process imaginable. The only thing really wrong with this process is the auditor always feels that he ought to get in there and pitch, you know? He ought to kick around things and run a show and keep things popping one way or the other. And the pre-clear sitting in the chair, his chair, and the auditor sitting in his chair, doesn't deliver to us the idea that a great many things are occurring. No lion acts or anything, you know? And the fellow simply sitting there, holding the two back anchor points of the room, minute after minute after minute after minute after minute after, doesn't seem to be very therapeutic. Was one of the more therapeutic things that you could do if it's producing change. So we'd ask the pre-clear once in a while, have you got them? How is it? We ask him quietly because we don't want to jar him. This is one of those quiet processes. And we ask him to hold on to them and ask him how it is. He's having difficulty with it. And he'll tell you, yeah, I'm getting quite a perception change. You know, there's a lot of locks flying off, he'll say. And you get various manifestations. Yes, I'm remembering a lot of things that you say, well, just sit there and don't think, huh? Of course, this is a lead pipe cinch to give him a lot of locks flying off because the main common denominator of things he's suppressing is that he mustn't think about them. You follow that, would be. So if you tell him not to think, all the things that are suppressed in his life will start to fly through the air. And they'll start to come right on up by him. Curious thing. You're just as-ising the blocks which keep him from remembering. Well, now, you shouldn't advise him of that. He'll actually eventually get to a point where he actually can sit there and not think. And this will be the first time in his life he ever sat still and didn't think. Freud and fiction writers and other people have long told us that there isn't a single moment of the day or night when associative reasoning isn't taking place. Well, this is the way Freud made his bread and butter. He said it wasn't possible for a person to be quiet and not think. This was beyond his capabilities. Actually, a stream of consciousness, which is followed by the very best fiction writers, Dash, Hammett, and the rest of the boys all do it. I used to be guilty of it, too. One thought leads to another thought leads to another thought leads to another thought. The psychologist really turns a shotgun on your chest with that one. He says, well, you really, really, all of your thoughts are being motivated and caused by the last thought you thought. Or what you saw in the environment, you see, that's what really started you thinking. And that starts the stream of consciousness, and it starts at the beginning of life, and it ends at the end of life. And that stream of consciousness, the way people think. Well, that may be the way some nut that's teaching psychology thinks, but it's not the way people think. So you're telling somebody to sit still and not to think. This is a new, strange experience. And he actually, sooner or later, if you just wanted to do that, you know, sit still and don't think. He's exteriorized, hold on to two back corners of the room, sit still and don't think. He would eventually get to a point where he'd as-ised out of his main suppressed thoughts, and he would be able to sit there and not think, and it'd be the first time in his life he had ever experienced peace. Up to that time, it's all been the chatter, 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 gob, gob, walla, walla of machines. You know? They have critical demons, and you know, all their demons going. And that, by the way, the psychologist thinks this associative reasoning is reasoning. It's not. It's demon chatter. People really don't even act on this associative stream of yap, yap that goes through their heads. When you take a bite of food, you don't say to yourself, now I am going to bite my food, do you? Okay. Well, so you get him out of the habit of associative reasoning with this particular process.